Live coast to coast on the BetMGM Network. That was a hell of a week one. I don't know how you improve over that. Maybe the best week one that any of us can remember. Us being RJ Choppy and John Martin alongside myself, Chris Mack. Welcome in to BetMGM. You don't forget to follow on all your social media at BetMGM Network. And of course, you can always watch the show on YouTube and Twitch as well. Search for the BetMGM Network on YouTube. You get all the information on the sidebar and along the bottom of the screen that you need to help you make bets for week two of the college football season. And we got at least a few games that we can dig into, although the slate not nearly as stacked as it was in week one when we had, I mean, every single day it felt like from Thursday night all the way through Monday night had something going on that was worth reacting to, if not overreacting to. So let's do that right out the box, boys. John, I'll start with you. What's your biggest overreaction from what you saw in week one?
Well, how about this? How about I point to an overreaction from somebody else rather than own? Because, you know, I think every reaction that I make is a justified reaction. You know, I just consider myself to be one of the most measured and even-keeled people on the planet. I would say dropping Texas to 7th by the AP poll voters is an overreaction. And quite frankly, ridiculous, stupid, and a disincentive for any team like Texas to play a game like that. Like, the if you're a voter and you drop Texas to 7th, like, I don't know, like, get your head out of your rear, man. And honestly, like, go back and watch the game and understand just how thin the margin was in that game. Understand that Ohio State lost every single possible category other than turnovers. If Carnell Tate doesn't make an absolutely absurd catch one-on-one coverage that was just basically a prayer from the Midwest there from Sand, that's a very different game. If Arch Manning isn't stopped on the one, it's a very different game. So I think dropping and punishing Texas, you know, 6 spots, I think is outrageous, especially considering they could have won the game.
Would you make the same argument then? Choppy, let me jump in. Would you make the same argument, John, for Clemson dropping 4 spots and Notre Dame dropping 3 spots too, considering how close those games were against quality opponents?
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, first of all, Notre Dame was at home. Or excuse me, they were not at home. Clemson was right at home. Clemson was at home, and Texas was on the road and dropped more spots than Clemson did. I know that they were number one, but, you know, I just felt like it was too punitive. And I'm not saying they didn't deserve to drop. I mean, I know that that's the way the system works, but I think you're not going to see a downgrade in the market on Texas, right? Like, nobody, I don't think, is coming away from that game that's betting for a living or betting just to try to make money and is saying, man, I'm dropping Texas in my power ratings. Like, they understand, anybody watching understands how close that game was and how it could have easily gone the other way.
Look, I think the AP poll stinks anyway, and I'm glad that we don't really use it anymore as it is. My overreaction that I couldn't stand is the Florida State. How does Florida State jump like 30 spots? Like, they were not ranked, and the only reason why you move them, I mean, you move them ahead of all these teams in the bottom half of the top 25 that won, that all won convincingly, you know, for the most part. You leapfrog Florida State only because you couldn't possibly have been wrong about Alabama, when everybody knows that Alabama hasn't been Alabama for a couple of years now. And they're not ever going to be Alabama again, because Alabama wasn't even Alabama. Alabama was some freak show for 20 years that doesn't exist. And they'll never be that again. So they were wrong about Alabama. And now, in order to prove they were still kind of right, they had to move Florida State ahead of about 20 teams that they had behind them. So that was my big one of the week, man. That was,
well, because I would just jump in here, Chris, and I'd say, because now we're getting like the real sense from the voters of what Alabama really is, which is, you know, I don't even think they're a top 25 team, but they're fine. They're 21. So you beat a 21 ranked team. Like, we're talking about what they truly are, a fringe top 25 team at home. And yeah, you did it convincingly, whatever, I guess, but you just beat a top fringe team at home and you jump that much. I mean, it's kind of like you're trying to tell me two different stories here. Yeah. Clearly, Alabama is not even close to what I had them 3. I had them three in the country, and I just could not have been more wrong about that. I don't think they're a top 25 team based on what we saw.
Yeah, that is the team I have turned around the most on, I think, in the last few, in the last week. And obviously everyone else has dropped 13 spots in the poll. The entire country has. The entire country is now out on Alabama, even those of us that thought highly of them, that thought they could compete for an SEC title and maybe more. And now the question has to be, how much longer is Kalen DeBoer there, Choppy? Like, I mean, the way Alabama's schedule sets up, there's a real chance, and I'm not trying to make Vandy more than they are, but look, they got themselves a quarterback this year, a fairly confident one. And if you look at Alabama's schedule, the way it lines up, if they're probably losing on the road at Georgia. Now, nobody's going to get fired for going to Athens and losing. That's just everybody does that.
Yeah.
But let's say they hit a bump in a row, speed bump against Wisconsin next week, and they've got three losses, coming back home. Given the way Alabama played against Florida State last week, it wouldn't be a shock at all to see Vandy go into Tuscaloosa and win. It would be surprising, right, because it's Vandy winning at Alabama. But that would be the one that I think would get the axe dropped right on Kalen DeBoer's neck.
Look, I know two things to be what I believe to be true. One, Kalen DeBoer is a really good football coach, probably a really good dude. Two, he could not be a worse fit for Alabama and the SEC. You have to be the neighbor that nobody really trusts. That's who the head coach of an SEC program is. The kind of sleazy neighbor, the HOA is always up their butt. Nobody really trusts them around their wife. That's an SEC football coach.
Lane Kiffin, right? Is what you're saying. You just painted a picture of Lane Kiffin.
I did want to say his name. Okay, I didn't want to say
I'll do it.
That's just
I'll
be to the describe guy. Literally every attribute about him.
Right.
Without
that's who has to be, like, that's who coaches in the SEC. DeBoer is, that's just, he's not, he's a good coach. It's not a slight against him. I mean, look, Shaka Smart's a good basketball coach. He didn't work at Texas. It happens, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a knock on him. Who wants to follow Nick Saban anyway? You know, like, that's the other thing. So, yeah, I think that this is, this could be, he might not make it to December. He might not make it to December 1st.
What do we think about the ACC now? Because Miami looked really good at times against Notre Dame. They've clearly got the receivers to bail Carson Beck out, even when he makes a terrible decision. And we already know Clemson is going to be there because you look at the rest of their schedule, and it doesn't matter that they lost to LSU. And all of a sudden, Florida State has reentered the chat too, John. And the ACC goes from Clemson and everybody else to, wait, Clemson, Miami, Florida State. SMU didn't lose, obviously. Georgia Tech had a decent win out on the road against Colorado. And now we're talking, roll Louisville into it. We got a six-team race.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were the big winners this weekend, to be honest, the ACC. I mean, they're having a bit of a revival here just before the inevitable bust-up, right, which is coming. Yeah, other than North Carolina, which was an absolute abject disaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I came away thinking, like, damn, maybe the ACC kind of has something cooking in, you know, this year in football. I mean, Clemson, that game could have obviously gone either way. Miami had one of the more impressive performances of the weekend. You know, SMU's kind of proven itself to be a real contender for the playoff every year. Florida State off the mat. You know, Duke's got a big one coming up this weekend against Illinois. So I thought the ACC were probably the big winners of the weekend. You know, because I think even a team like Duke is going to be heard from. So, yeah, I thought if you're, you know, one of those people that wrote the ACC off as dead, I thought that was a Undertaker hand out of the cemetery moment for that conference.
Sitting up in the casket.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the AC, we saw this with the Big Ten. The Big Ten's got a pretty wealthy alumni base for these programs, and I think the ACC does for a lot of these programs as well. And that helps when it comes to NIL. It means they're going to have some NIL dollars. And they're also in, you know, states that have large corporations. Like, you know, it helps to be in Florida if you're in NIL. It helps to be in Texas for NIL purposes, right? You got a lot of money in those places. So that's a big part of it. Also, I mean, those are some traditional powers. Like Miami and Florida State are traditional powers. Georgia Tech had their moments. Clemson obviously has had a really, really good run. So, yeah, it's like they were a massive winner They came to play. They had some, obviously they had some home games that were cooked in there. You know, Florida State at home, Miami at home, Clemson almost pulled one out at home. And that helps. We saw, and I think we saw this in the playoff last year, home field advantage, what it means. Home field advantage is the big winner this weekend too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the ACC will stay this wide open at the top or if Clemson, again, due to their schedule, will start to pull away. But if you didn't get Florida State at 25-1, maybe you're interested at 12-1 still. That's what it dropped down to. If you think there's an opening for someone else, Miami's down to 375 now at BetMGM to win the ACC. If you believe in Carson Beck, I still got to see a little bit more and see his receivers have to bail him out a little bit less. But the ACC would seem to be wide open. One other team I wanted to mention, because when we talked Big 12 coming into the season, it felt like there were, what, half a dozen teams maybe that were a part of the conversation. We mentioned the Colorado loss. I don't think they were originally in the conversation in the conference to begin with. But Utah had a nice win, pretty dominant win over UCLA, and they got themselves a quarterback. After the decades-long odyssey, at least that's what it felt like, John, with Cam Rising, they have got themselves a quarterback. And Devin Dampier, I think he only had 3 incompletions on the night. Utah looked really good. They're a little less than 5-1 right now, 450 at BetMGM to win the Big 12. I understand Texas Tech spent all that oil money. I understand Arizona State is still really good and has themselves a quarterback. TCU looked good on Monday night, considered the opposition, I guess. So maybe it's still a 4-5 team race in the Big 12, but it's hard not to look at Utah and say, this is what we've been waiting for 6 years for them to have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they just had to finally like get a guy that they could – like trust would play, right? I mean, yes. We don't have to sweat those injury reports every single week from Kyle Whittingham. I think Utah looked great. I will say, I think that game was more about the like poverty that UCLA football is in, and Deshaun Foster and how and Nico Iamaleava, what a mistake he made doing this whole pulling this whole late minute, you know, whatever it was he did, hostage situation. I don't want to be a victim of the moment. I would say it feels like we've kind of forgotten about Iowa State. They played two weeks ago, and it kind of feels like we've forgotten about how good that win was. It was striking to watch how easy it was for TCU to move the football, though. I mean, however you wanted it, whether it was through the air, whether it was on the ground, obviously that defense came up with tons of turnovers and stops. So, I think TCU 6-1, Iowa State 8-1. I think those feel like good bets right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're forgetting about TCU. Everybody's forgetting about Iowa State, but that's because it was 2 weeks ago. But man, I mean, Texas Tech is still. I mean, they got the transfer portal of all transfer portals, and they got all the money. The Marauder Club or the Matador Club, whatever they call it, whatever their collective is called, they got a lot of cash. But you have to. This is wide open, completely wide open. I don't think anybody mentioned Arizona State, really. And they've been. I mean, they're the highest ranked of the bunch. So I think the national folk might have them. But I mean, Iowa State is always there, and they're well coached. TCU is well coached as well, obviously with Dykes, but. I would think one of those two, TCU or Texas Tech right now, outside of Utah.
Yeah, there's a lot of offensive talent in that conference. And there's going to be a lot of points scored on a week-to-week basis. So the Big 12, definitely wide open, but a couple of teams that maybe made us stand up and notice just a little bit more in week one. John alluded to this, Choppy, so I got to ask you, with Iamaleava out, looks like your Vols may have found themselves a quarterback real quick.
Look, this is the formula now that I think all programs should take. Get a veteran quarterback. Forget about recruiting one. Forget about spending millions of dollars in recruitment of a quarterback. Every year, go out there and find a Riley Leonard, find a John Mateer, find a Joey Aguilar, find a Carson Beck, find one of those, Dylan Gabriel. Just keep recycling that, and I think you'll be fine. I think that's what teams are starting to figure out, because if you notice, like, who didn't have a problem going and playing week one? Carson Beck didn't have a problem with it. Garrett Nussmeier didn't have a problem with it. Joey Aguilar didn't have a problem with it. You know, but who did? You had some of these kids. Arch Manning, first start. Julian Sain, first start. Ty Simpson, first start. Like, they had problems. Carr.
Yeah.
Carr had a problem, too. So I think the vets is where it's at.
We mentioned Iowa State. We mentioned Duke. We mentioned a couple big games that we want to dig into here. We'll do that next, starting with the one between the Wolverines and the Sooners, SEC, Big Ten, next here on BetMGMU.